Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, except today I'm not in New York City. I'm in Boulder, Colorado, and I'm broadcasting today from my friend Sandra Lee and Dean's house here. I was in town to do a lecture on Thursday and a workshop yesterday on mapping your life. We had a really nice time, really good turnout, and met a lot of wonderful people. So thank you, Boulder, for a wonderful welcome. And, of course, because I'm flying back tonight, when the show is broadcast normally, we're doing an early episode, so those of you who tune in can get your information for next week, the week of April 23rd, 2017. This week promises to be particularly volatile. Last week was, you know, kind of exciting, but not maybe as volatile as, you know, it was volatile, but not like craziness, you know. I mean, it was crazy, but not too bad. This next week, Venus is going to go back into Aries. And, you know, I was checking my email this morning. I got an email from Nancy saying, you know, you have a really ugly picture of Venus on your website. I think you should fix that. So watch for Venus in Aries to be speaking up this week and saying, you know what, I'm not really sure I like that. I think you should fix that up, because we're going forward in Aries. You know, Venus turned direct on the 15th last Saturday. And she promises us that she goes back through the through Aries, back and clears them. Not until June 12th does she go into Taurus. But as she goes forward in Aries, she's going to be romping and rolling and stomping and kicking and going a little wild. So I posted a video on my website. If you didn't see it, it's very cute. It's Beth Ditto singing Fire, F-I-R-E. And that is Venus in Aries for the next couple of weeks. So get ready. Fasten your seatbelts. We're going to have a lot of fun as Venus goes forward and kicks a little butt. Now, we're just finishing up. You know, Pluto stationed last week on the 20th, and I said, you know, the 5 days before, which is like the 15th, through 5 days after, which is tomorrow, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Pluto kind of rocks and rolls. And usually he's related to some kind of earth event, you know, like an earthquake or a volcano or something like that. But he also sometimes does things with powerful people because he's Pluto and because he can. Bill O'Reilly was forced to resign, or fired, I guess, wasn't even forced to resign. He was just fired. I mean, he got a nice chunk of money. That's Pluto. But, you know, his history over time with harassing women and paying the money to go away apparently caught up to him. And that's Pluto, right? Now, remember, Pluto's in Capricorn, and Capricorn is abuse of power, or Capricorn's about power, and Pluto is about making us understand abuse of power, or where power is not maybe being used well in, or used in the way we would like it to be used. Or, you know, it's being used. Pluto really doesn't care if we like it or not. And I always kind of try and make him a little nicer than he is. You know, what he wants us to do is he wants us to understand that, you know, where we think we might be all powerful, or we may think we're great at something, whenever he comes to aspect a planet that we think we're pretty good at, he kind of shows us, well, maybe not so much. And when he stops, he kind of calls attention to things that we think of as powerful, and he kind of goes, yeah, I'm the lord of the underworld, not you. So Bill O'Reilly, meeting the Pope that day when he gets fired by Rupert Murdoch and Sons, is a good example of Pluto stationing. And if you look at Bill's chart, you know, it's also that angry women thing. You know, we've got Aries down there with Uranus, and we have that T-square. And Bill, as you might guess, had a moon in Aries, and Uranus, Aries, the goddess of discord, was on it. Plus, interestingly, his moon and his Venus are on the nodes of fate and opposite each other. His Venus is in Libra, opposite that moon in Aries. So, you know, he had a story come to Bill, and off he goes to new pastures. Now, Pluto may have done something to you too, because what he's doing now is he's integrating for us the power. He does go backwards now until the last week in September of this year when he stations at 16, and then he moves forward again. So our job with Pluto is to understand that he shifts and changes things. Now that those changes have been made, or changes are still in process, this week we have a lot going on because we have a lovely new moon in Taurus, and I will be doing a new moon webinar on Monday the 24th if you'd like to sign up from 7:30 to 9:30. The new moon in Taurus is one of the juicy, juicy moons of the year because it's all about what you want. And, of course, Venus rules the fall and the spring, which are the two most beautiful seasons. But they're also the seasons where we really kind of align our we align ourselves and then move forward in the sense of we're planting things and fertilizing things and growing things in the spring season. And in the fall season, we're looking at all the things we've grown and done and figuring out how we're going to get through the winter, because the work of the garden is finished, the work of the fields. So as Venus this week moves through Taurus, well, the sun is in Taurus now. It went into Taurus last week. But as Venus now, we have this nice new moon, and then right after the new moon, Venus goes into Aries. So this new moon is made of Venus answering to 29 Pisces, okay? Pisces is the exaltated Pisces is exaltated. Let me say it. Venus is exalted in Pisces. You can tell it's a little early here. I haven't had my coffee yet. I'm still in my pajamas, in fact. I haven't even gone downstairs yet to try and scout out some coffee. But Venus is exalted in Pisces. And her job when she's in it is it's all about beauty and creation and understanding. Then, this week on Friday, the 28th, she goes into Aries. And then she's in Aries all next month. So this new moon is answering to an exalted Venus. And it's the sun and moon taking place at 6 degrees of Taurus. So think about where 6 Taurus is in your chart. Think about the new cycle you want to start there, because that's one of the big things you want to do this week. And whether you tune into my show, my webinar or not, take some time this week to think about the Taurus house in your chart and what you want to be beginning there. Remember, there's a new moon every month in one of our 12 houses. And it's really important because it does seed a whole new cycle. And the moon is the closest heavenly body to Earth, rules quite a bit, not only the tides as they flow in and out. I mean, if you're big enough to move oceans, you can really help. So this lovely, lovely growing moon answering to an exalted Venus after all this stuff we've been through, excellent time to take a little moment and focus on your vision of what you want. But this week we also have Venus going into Aries, and that's, you know, kind of a little kick butt piece of energy, right? And she kind of pushes us and says, well, I think maybe you should maybe do this. You should maybe consider this. Right after she goes into Aries on Friday the 28th, Mercury joins with Uranus. And Mercury, of course, is in fire, and Uranus is in fire. So Venus goes into Aries, and suddenly Mercury gets, like, real excited, because remember, Mercury's going retrograde, and he's in Aries. This year he's in Taurus and Aries. He's in Earth and fire signs all year. This particular retrograde, he's in Taurus and Aries. So this part is the Aries part. He meets up with Uranus. He meets up with Eris, the goddess of discord, right as Venus changed. So Friday, you might as well just stay home. Because I make myself laugh and then I cough. It's a wonderful thing. You might as well stay home on Friday because the world is going to be a really wild place. And your job is to just kind of know when we have that level of wild, there really isn't a lot you can do except observe it. But Mercury hitting Uranus and Eris right after Venus goes into Aries is a very potent setup for that day. And we want to kind of just know that that's really when we're going to feel like we're getting shot out of a rocket heading towards the moon. And if you like that kind of thing, go for it. For the earth and water, you know, you fire and air people love this stuff. The earth and water folks among us go, ooh, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing to me? And so our job is to honor that, you know, we earth and water folk may want to stay home, but the fire and air people are going to have a really good time. So our job when we're looking at this is to say, gee, what's the point? What's the purpose? Where are we in the journey? Why are we here? And one of the points of this show is to help you go, well, this is why we're here. So that on Friday alone is going to get you rocking and rolling. we also have a number of aspects to the nodes of fate. We're going to finish up the month of April. And, of course, it's April showers bring Mayflowers. And what do Mayflowers bring? Well, they bring pilgrims. But aside from that, Mayflowers also give us the beauty of spring. So as April comes to a wrap this next week, we're going to be saying goodbye to her and moving into real serious Taurus time. Now, remember, because Mercury now is in Aries retrograde, he's ruling the Gemini planets and the Virgo planets, of which you have the node of fate and you have Mars. And this week, Mars and the node of fate square each other. That means you're going to have a crossroads about what direction you want to head in. Because Mercury is retrograde, there's going to be a little instinct to want to head back to what you know, because it's familiar. You know how it works. You know what the... You know what the story is. You know how to get there. You know it. You know, so the known is always sometimes more comfortable than the unknown. But this week, the moon does want to encourage you to go back out in the world and try again, because it's in the early signs. It's in the Aries and the Taurus and the Gemini and the Cancer section of the chart. And that, of course, is the I am, I have, I know, I nurture, I care for, I take care of myself. So that section of the chart's up. So watch for feeling like you want to do a spring rehab of your health habits, or you want to clean your house out, or you're really feeling like initiating things. Because Venus is now moving forward. Even though Mercury's retrograde, you may still not have decided what you want to go forward with. You're still maybe researching it, retrograde research, but you're kind of moving. So I was talking to a woman, Jessica, at lunch when we were doing the workshop, and she's like, well, I'm thinking maybe of going back to Boston, you know. And a lot of times with retrogrades, it can feel like you want to go back someplace, but you're also in the position of deciding, well, what going forward, what do I have to go back and finish up or wrap up retrograde? And, of course, Pluto's now retrograde until September, so we have a lot of retrograde energies in the sky. In the sky right now, Mercury's retrograde, Venus is still in her shadow clearing it, Jupiter's retrograde, Saturn's retrograde, and Pluto's retrograde. So retrograde planets, R-E, invite us to re. So we're re-Jupitering. Jupiter is our relationship planet. We're re-evaluating our relationships. We're figuring out who we want to be in relationship with. Those are kind of more the general relationships, you know, what groups we want to be a part of. The re of Saturn is what's the structures we want to revise, revision, redo, and what have we been building? What's our dream been? And what are the structures we need to put in place to support it? And, of course, now the re of Pluto, the retrograde of Pluto, thanking Bill Riley for leaving the air, is very much about our relationship to power. And power in our own life, power in the world. And I think part of the journey right now is we're all being asked to really reevaluate our own relationship to the world and what one person can do, right? And so there was a video I saw this week that talked about what one person can do. And it was very inspirational because we forget it. We forget what that story is. And I went to see Joan of Arc, Into the Fire. You know, every year I take my staff and me, and we all get to play. We go out for dinner, and then we go to a play. So this year, down at the Public Theater, there's a play called Joan of Arc, Passion and Into the Fire. And, it's a new thing written by really good musical, and staging was phenomenal. I mean, I was just stunned at how well they did it. A couple times I went, oh, my God, that's just stunning, you know, visually incredibly engaging. But they basically said, you know, here's Joan. they warned her and she persisted, which of course is what happened with Elizabeth Warren, with our little friend there in the Senate, whose name will be unnamed because he makes me just crazy. So we're watching that energy feist up. We're watching that feisty energy start to arise. And if you've been feeling a little depressed and a little blue and a little down, this will be the week when it starts to move. If you've been feeling a little blocked and held back, this is when Venus gets past her square to Saturn. Remember, Venus has been square to Saturn for like 4 or 5 weeks now. And those of us who live with Venus, Saturn, myself included, in aspect, we kind of are used to it. We know we have to work, and, you know, and eventually it moves, doesn't move as fast as we might like. But now all of us have been learning Venus, Saturn, which is a little bit of delay in what we want because the structure is not ready to give it to us yet, that we're not ready to get supported in it. But at the same time, now that Venus is past Saturn, now she's going to say, okay, maybe I asked you and you can't do it for me, but that doesn't mean there isn't someone else in this wide, wide world who I can work with and do it. So a lot of the projects that have felt like they've been a little stalled or held back really start to kick up this week, and they all get active. Excuse me. So there's a lot of energy about forward movement that's positive. So let's get our pens and pencils out and do the moons. So the moon today, excuse me, it goes into Aries tonight at 8:32 Eastern. These times are all Eastern. Goes into Aries at 8:32 p.m. Eastern time, and it's in Aries on Monday the 24th and Tuesday the 25th, closing with a trine to Saturn. So Monday, Tuesday, you get a lot done. Moon's in Aries. Venus is still in Pisces. So she's she's supportive and helpful. And the moon is in Aries, moving quickly. Now, Mars is in Gemini, which always offers choices. Mars has a square to the node. So he's picking what direction he wants to pick in. Pick the direction that does not, that looks like it's a little more work. Go to the Virgo North Node. Moon is void on Tuesday night from 5:53 to 9:56 when it goes into Taurus. It's in Taurus Tuesday night, Wednesday, Thursday through 9:18. And its closing aspect is Moon sextile Venus at the last degree. So the Moon in Taurus, lovely new Moon, closing aspect is a sextile to Venus in her exaltation. Please, please, please take time on this new Moon on Wednesday or Thursday and do a new Moon ritual, because this is a juicy baby. Then at 9:39, sorry about that. That's my alarm clock waking me up to do the show. Can't make this stuff up. Okay, then after on the 27th at 9:39 p.m., the moon goes into Gemini. It's in Gemini Thursday. It's in Gemini Friday. It goes Thursday night, Friday. It's in Gemini Saturday until 5:28 p.m. when it's in a separating aspect, moon in Gemini opposite Saturn and Sag. Then it's void for a couple hours and enters Cancer at 9:48 Sunday night. And it's in Cancer on, or Saturday night, and it's in Cancer on Sunday, and it's in Cancer on Monday, going void with a square to Uranus. So the beginning of the week, the Aries and the Taurus moon get a great deal accomplished. The end of the week, the Gemini and the Cancer moons have a little more discord, a little more fight, a little more anger. And, of course, on Friday, Venus goes into Aries, and the whole sky gets mean again. So we want to get stuff done and out the door the first part of the week, and then the back end of the week just kind of, you know, duck a little. It's going to feel, people that are feeling really frustrated are going to really act up at the back end of the week when we're in the Gemini and the Cancer moons. And, of course, those are really personal. So the Gemini moons, answering to all that fire, are going to say some mean stuff. You're going to hear some mean stuff on Thursday and Friday and maybe even Saturday. You know, don't take it personally. Remember, this is a huge moon or a huge time in the sky for projection, where we give it to the other guy. We're not necessarily it's not ours. We, you know, we're not owning our stuff, and we're going to blame the other guy. Well, you made me. You are over 21. And not all my listeners are, but quite a few of them are. You're over 21. Nobody can make you do anything. You agreed to do it. Take personal responsibility and understand when someone starts blaming you for stuff, your job is not to get angry at them, even though that can feel really good right now, because Mars is, of course, in fire. And it is a Gemini sign, so there's, well, you did this. No, you did this. And rather than a he said, she said, or he said, he said, or she said, she said, what you want to do is go, you know, I'm going to take this anger, and rather than feeling justified in not changing, not taking action, and being mad at you, I'm going to take the anger and maybe direct it someplace and get it used in a way that's positive rather than destructive, actually getting me what I want rather than sitting around complaining about you not giving it to me. Nobody has a responsibility to give any of us anything once we're 21 or even 18, sometimes 16, sometimes younger. We're on our own. Our job is to get that done ourselves, and we have a support efficacy, and we're able to do it. That said, this week there's going to be a whole lot of blaming going on, and I invite you not to do the blame. I invite you to watch if you get really fired up, to take that fire and go do something with it that's positive for you rather than sitting and fighting with whoever's trying to blame you for something you didn't do or trying to give you responsibility for their life and their life choices. We make our choices when we make them because they felt right at the time. Maybe they don't fit anymore, and that's okay. Time to move on then. But that Taurus new moon is really a visionary moon. And then the back end of the week, lots of examples from the universe to point out to you, maybe this is done, and maybe this is done, and maybe that's done. So the sun this week goes from 4 Taurus to 11 Taurus. So he's going to activate any points in your chart. He doesn't have aspects himself this week, which means he's kind of in a clean pot of sky. He does have that conjunction in the new moon on Thursday at 6 degrees of Taurus. Mercury, however, is pretty active. He is going retrograde in Aries. He's running through the 28 to 25 Aries. He has a trine to Saturn on the 24th on Monday where he's going to say to Saturn, you know, I had this really good idea. He breaks up with people on the 24th because he aspects by declination the nodes of fate. So this is going to be one of those times, and I like it when it's a declination aspect because a lot of times when Mercury aspects the nodes of fate, we feel like we have to be active in our choice. This is one of those things where you're going to kind of look at the situation and go, you know, I don't think I want to play here anymore. It doesn't have to be allowed. Doesn't have to be a door slam and exit. It just has to be a, I think I'm done here, and you get to go. And that's going to be on the 24th. And then at the end of the week, of course, on the 28th, Mercury is both parallel Uranus, which is going to wake you up out of a sound sleep bright and early on Friday morning, around 5 o'clock in the morning, you're there at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock, whatever time your coast is, 5 o'clock East Coast time. And then he hits Uranus at right a couple minutes before 11, 10:49 a.m., adjust for your location. So Mercury-Uranus is a pretty interesting aspect because there's some kind of big reveal. Remember, he's retrograde, and he's going to hit this puppy three times. So there's a big reveal where we go, oh, wow. And it's important to pay attention because this guy's at 25, which is trine to Saturn in a couple of days. And, I mean, when he goes back direct. But it also is a lot of energy around really understanding and seeing what's going on. A lot of times stuff happens and we're not 100% clued into what is going on. This is a big reveal, okay? And not always pleasant, I'm going to warn you, because it can be a little shocking or a little surprising or a little, you know, whatever. This kind of thing, it's been, you know, I've seen people, you know, I'm a drug addict, and I've been a drug addict for the last 10 years. And partner goes, really? You know, you find out when Gwen Stefani had it a couple years ago, you know, she found the pictures of her husband fooling around with the nanny on the kid's iPad, you know. It's not a pleasant energy, but it does get you clear. So just kind of watch for what happens then. And it can be a little shocking when you go, wow. Then Venus, of course, is going forward. So she's going from 28 Pisces to 1 Aries. And so she enters Aries on the 28th at 9:13 in the morning. So she goes into Aries just a few minutes before Mercury and Uranus meet, which suggests to me next Friday is pretty big. We may have firings, you know, big announcements of big layoffs in companies. Because this is kind of like, yeah, we're firing to, you know, we're closing all these stores and firing people. We're going bankrupt, Mercury Uranus. We're announcing a change. It also can be quitting jobs and saying, got to go, bye, you know, which is always a fun thing because you're ready to be set free. So that's a good use of it. It can be, I need to leave. I need to get a divorce and go. Another way of looking at it. And then Venus has a hard aspect to the nodes of fate on the 29th. In Aries. So even though she knows she needs to make this change, Saturday is going to be emotional because she's really feeling that she's making this change, and it's a change she needs to do, but she's not always happy in knowing that she has to do that. And also that Friday is a great day for projection. Then Mars runs from 1 Gemini to 5, almost 6 Gemini. He's also pretty busy. He has a choice today, today the 23rd, as he squares the nodes of fate, and he says, okay, so what direction do you want to head in? Then on Monday, he is in a power struggle with Pluto, and, you know, when Mars and Pluto get together, we have a war, even if it's just limited bombing of the biggest bomb in the world on Syria or whoever we drop bombs on these days. So the Mars-Pluto is a war aspect, and later in the week on the 27th, Mars has what's called a sesquiquadrate with Pluto. And, of course, the 27th is right before you have that big reveal the next day. And Mars and Pluto in the sesquiquadrate is a stressful energy, but it also requires action. So we're going to feel a little stressed, but we're going to be like, well, you know, I'm feeling a little stressed, but I know I need to do that. Before that, Mars has a number of sesquiquadrates in addition to his contraparallel with Pluto, and he's got an opposition to Lilith. So Lilith is an opposition, Astraea is a sesquiquadrate, Juno is a sesquiquadrate, and Zeus is a sesquiquadrate. So it's kind of the energy of, I really feel like if I don't do this, I'm going to just die. You know how you get that sometimes where you just have to, you just have to. And remember, Mercury in Gemini is answering to, or Mars in Gemini is answering to Mercury in Aries. So it's big. So there's this energy of, I got to. Jupiter's quiet this week. Saturn is quiet this week, although he does have a little bit of a desire to rearrange the house and maybe get some stuff cleared out on Monday. He also has an opportunity for healing, excuse me, on Sunday when he squares Chiron. Now, a lot of times when we have the kind of day we're going to have on Friday, we take the weekend to recover, really, or to kind of process it so that, you know, kind of know that that may be what that Saturn Chiron is. Sometimes when we have losses in our lives or we have changes in our lives, we really kind of ruminate on the old and go back through it. Not a lot of aspect with Neptune this week, although he does have aspects with health planets, so do pay attention to them. And yes, I'm going to go to the doctor about this cough because it seems to be not going away. A lot of opportunity to partner with people that we maybe shouldn't partner with on the 28th. So just be aware that when you're stomping out the door, if you're going off with somebody, they may not be the person you think they are, but they're the person that gets you out of the relationship. So that's a good thing. And then Chiron and Eris have a big old fight around how to get things done. And the asteroids are pretty quiet, although Ceres enters Gemini on the 29th. So she's going to be saying to you, well, you have a choice. You can do it this way or that way. And she squares the nodes on the 30th. So that 29th, 30th, once we make these changes, we then get to figure out how we want to do it. So feel free to sign up for the New Moon webinar. It's going to be on Monday night. You can also download it and buy it and use it. And that's it for the Weekly Weather. I wish you a good week. And remember, lots of clearing, because everything's starting to swirl back into Aries again for part three. Take care and have. You can hear my alarm clock going off. Take care and love the audio visual effects here. Take care and have a great week, folks, and I'll talk to you next week at the regularly scheduled time. In the meantime, have a good April 23rd, 2017 through April 30th. Take care and bye.